This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to a piece of cake with in the corner over there, which I don't know if it's the right or the left, but over there is the doctor, the esteemed doctor.
Dr. Abdul Haq, but I'm to Dr. you, Abdul Haq, brother Abdul Haq Baker.
Abdul Haq Baker, what a lovely name. MashaAllah, he's going to be baking up a piece of cake today. Inshallah, very interesting.
We hope so. We
hope
so. Piece
of cake about passive, aggressive behavior. Speaking.
Metaphorically speaking, of course. And in that corner, on the left of me, is none other than the popular, desired Abdurrahim Green.
Thanks, bro.
How you doing?
I had a mini avalanche of books in my study just now. So, are you frozen, bro? Abdul Haq, no, he's back again.
I'm frozen. I'm here.
No, you're not. You're sort of, I think we got a slow internet connection with you there or something. Yeah, you keep freezing, bro.
No, I shouldn't. I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Let's check. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back now. Yeah. No, he's frozen again. Is it me or is
you're
it no?
Frozen.
He's
definitely you're frozen the one who's again. Frozen.
Yeah, he's got frozen again. Must be some bad internet connection. But I think we can hear you all right, bro. So
no, but I'm you're freezing with me.
Is it?
It's both of us.
Bro, it's passive aggressive behavior from the internet and from the YouTube system.
Absolutely.
It's being passive aggressive. It doesn't really want us to talk about this important issue. So what's it doing? It's just stonewalling and, actually displaying classic passive aggressive behavior.
I think that's the case, Abdurrahim. Now, am I moving now or am I still frozen?
No, you're good. You're good. You're moving now, bro.
Right, so passive-aggressive internet knows what's happening today. So, yeah. Abdurrahim, so yeah. First and foremost, wa alaikum salam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Nama, that you can see us loud and clear. It's good to see all of you here with us. Many frequent Shireen. Yes, what a start, Shireen. But you know what? We take it in our stride, Sister Shireen. We have to. We've got no choice, mashallah. But really good to see all of you here, Sister Octavia, Shireen. Many of you, Malahat, I've seen that you're there. Nama, yes, we're well, thank you. We've got a brother from my stables, Brixton. Good to see you with us. Now, this is a very, very interesting topic. And I had to look up, what do we mean by passive aggressive? So, Abdurrahim, I'm going to give a definition that I saw. Yeah. And what I read of passive aggressive, and you tell me what you can discuss this. Passive aggressive behavior is a pattern of indirectly expressing negative feelings instead of openly addressing them.
Yeah,
there's a disconnect between what a person who exhibits passive aggressive behavior says and what he or she does. For example, someone who engages in passive aggressive behavior might appear to agree, perhaps even enthusiastically, with another person's request. Rather than complying with the request, however, he or she might express anger or resentment by failing to follow through or missing deadlines.
Yeah.
So that's a passive aggressiveness that I know. I think that there's passive aggressiveness that I know some of us may have witnessed in between couples with marriage, between friends, this example that's given in work. But my question is this, Abdurrahim, as we look at passive aggressiveness, is the alternative passivity, just being passive?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is it's a big question. So when I looked into this, I started thinking about it, my first initial reaction about passive aggressive behavior, this is my first reaction, right? Is that it's un-Islamic, it's insincere, right? It's not part of the etiquettes and adab that a Muslim should display. And it seems to go totally against, you know, the generality of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about ad-din and nasiha, in the sense that every Muslim wants the best for others, right? And they would treat others in the best way. You love for others what you love for yourself. And all of these beautiful, I would say, even systems of akhlaq and daba adab. Yeah, we don't often think of it as being a system, but in reality, yeah, the Prophet said, I haven't come except to perfect good manners, right? So, you know, it is really, that's what Islam is about. It's about good manners. And, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very forthright without being rude, without insulting and abusing people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would openly correct people. And even if you remember, I don't remember who it was it Anas or someone who said no one was better at correcting and admonishing than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to do it, but he did it, and he was very straight and he was very forthright as much as he needed to be without being offensive. And I guess that's a huge part of the emotional intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we all must try to emulate. So that was my initial feeling. Like, passive aggressive people are good, you know, it's a sign of cowardice. It's a sign of bad manners. You know, it's not something, and it's not a way how a Muslim behaves. That's my initial feeling. And then I started thinking, well, wait a minute, why would people behave like that? And then I thought, well, you know, maybe people are passive aggressive because they are disempowered, because they don't feel they are able to express themselves. And I was thinking particularly in terms of authority, right? When you have, for example, a very authoritarian society, or an increasingly authoritarian, or maybe when you have a minority, right? Who, again, maybe we can talk about this in the context of minorities, right? And this minority could be anything. It could be an ethnic minority. It could be people who are economically, you know, under disprivileged. It could be class in society, like white people, but lower class white people exhibiting passive aggressive behavior to upper class. And all because they don't feel there is any avenue for them to frankly express how they feel about something, because that frank expression of their sentiments will be met with aggression, violence, you know, boycotting, losing their job, so on. So, you know, whatever it is, the point being is that it seems to me that the flip coin of passive aggressive behavior may be that a person feels disempowered. They don't know how to express their objection to, you know, the mistreatment that they feel that they are receiving, except through this way of, on the outside, I'm being happy, but what I'm really going to do is undermine you, undermine your authority, undermine your requests, because you know what? You're oppressing me, and I don't know how else to do it. So that was the flip side. And it's interesting that, again, just from my reading, that a lot of people who exhibit passive-aggressive behavior, it seems that they just have a problem with expressing their emotions. It's not that they're trying to be awkward or difficult. They just, you know, like, it's just really hard for them to talk about. And a lot of men, funny, this is the irony. We have this conversation, are women more passive aggressive than men? But it may be that many men are more passive aggressive, right? Because men generally really find it hard to talk about their emotions, right? And therefore, when they are confronted, especially within the context of marriage, with something to do with their emotions, they may respond sarcastically, refuse to talk about it, walk out of the conversation, you know, say, yeah, and then just not do it. And all those other things that are symptom of passive aggressive behavior. So I just think it's just generally a super, super interesting subject. But what are your thoughts, bro? I mean, do you think that even under those excuses, I mean, there's lots of things we can understand about why a person behaves that way, but still say, that's not the right way to behave. What do you feel Islamically, bro, is the right way to treat people? And, you know, do you think passive aggressive behavior could ever be acceptable Islamically? What do you think about that?
I think that what you've done, and I think you've done some in this introduction, you've done a lot of justice to look at both sides of the coin, Abdulrahim. Jazakallah khair. And it's really interesting how you've looked at it. And I think that Niloufar raised a really important point when we look at where this emanates from. And I've not thought of that before until Sister Niloufar's highlighted this.
Yeah,
Shaitan was passive aggressive. Okay. His characteristics were such. What did he do with Adam and Hawa? In which he said, I'm a sincere advisor to you. And we know that he despised what had happened when he was made to prostrate to this creation, that he was made superior. He felt he was superior because of the aspects of his creation. So what did he do when he was when Allah was about to banish him, or had basically chastised him for his behavior in the garden? He came to him and said, he swore by Allah, I am your sincere advisor. Yep. The enmity and the hatred he had to do that, okay? Was he disempowered? No. No one would dare say that Allah would disempower anyone in that way or in any way. Mm. So I think that characteristic there, when done willfully, this is now coming addressing the point that you asked me, when done intentionally, willfully, deliberately, okay, knowing the effects of such behavior, then everything you've said about, and what some of the observers, our viewers have said, of it being a detestable characteristic and stay away from such people, when someone is deploying that as a tool to marginalize, to target individuals, then it's a very insidious and ugly characteristic. And as Peter says, and others have just mentioned, narcissists use this. Okay, and it is in that way, when it's deliberate, it can be a shaitanic characteristic. Now, if it's unintentional, what do I mean by this? The individual doesn't know that they're doing it. It's the only recourse they have, or feel this is the only way they can respond. Now we're looking at something totally different, I believe, what you were highlighting here. But you asked me about the, you gave the example of those empowered, those who may be punished for speaking out, those who may lose their jobs or whatever. And so therefore there's an element of showing one face and then undermining from the other perspective. Nevertheless, this is still an unsavory characteristic, whether intentional or not. It's an unsavory characteristic. We have, when we're talking about speaking to power or fearing for your job or anything like that, we have the narration that if you see an evil, we have the three levels. We have three levels, Abdulrahim, and we often, the stronger of us, the alphas and alpha females, if there's a thing, we chastise or sort of scorn, like the one who hates it in their heart. No, that's the weakest one. But that was still an option the Prophet ﷺ gave us, okay? Yeah. And the option wasn't to hate it in your heart. If you can't stop it with your hand, stop it with your tongue. It wasn't to hate it in your heart and therefore undermine and show a passive-aggressive nature. It was to hate in your heart while still doing the best, while still trying to strive for the best, while still trying to exist within that oppressive circumstance or challenging circumstance. So I think that that's one aspect, I would say, from a religious perspective that we need to look at. But you're right, it's a good question. Brothers do it. What you said, I think, has validity. I feel that I may have done that when I felt there's nothing more that I could do, where you go quiet. We are less emotionally literate than women. I would say that generally the emotional literacy of men is less, from my experience, than women. Okay. And when our wives articulate and they criticize or they're upset, sometimes it's like, I can't think fast enough to actually answer this. So you even want to shut it down. Or you go quiet, or you go very quiet, and that's not you being deliberately passive aggressive. It's like, I don't know what to say. I'm going to listen. I'm going to comply, or I don't want to hear this, or I walk out, as you've said in that example. And some may be deliberate to shut her down, to silence her voice. Others may be, we just don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, definitely, I don't think I'm passive aggressive at all, except perhaps with my wife. And I was really trying to analyze my behavior and to see, I do know I have, within that dynamic of relationships. I have emotional issues. You know, I can appear very, very unemotional, very cold. And literally, I think I can turn my emotions off like a switch. You know, I literally can walk out of the door, be 100 miles away for a month and not even think about my kids or my wife or whatever. Literally, I mean, maybe it's a blessing that Allah just allows me to just disengage. And like, but when I'm with them, I'm totally emotionally involved, right? It's like, but I think that's part of, again, my general, I think generally I'm a person who lives in the moment. So I don't really think a lot about the past. I don't worry too much. I probably worry more about the future than I think about the past. But again, I'm very much a person who is focused on what I'm experiencing at this moment. So maybe it's something to do with that. But again, within the dynamics of, you know, of the relationship, yeah, no doubt I display some dimensions of passive aggressive behavior. But, you know, the things you are now mentioning yourself, generally, like it comes down to that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. You know, is that, you know, what, you know, men are solution. Generally, you know, men are solution providers. You and me, we have a conversation. And if you're going to ask me for help, it's because you've done your best to figure this thing out by yourself, right? You reached a place where you couldn't, and now you're reaching out to someone else who you think is going to help you, and we're looking to find a solution. Whereas often women, when they are talking, they're just offloading their emotions. And when you start saying, how can I solve this, right? That's the man kicking in, right? Like because that's how we interact with each other. But she's not interested in you coming up with a solution. She just wants someone to be able to listen, right? And I guess you being silent at that time, that's not passive aggressive, right? I guess, you know, like it's just you listening. So it's very difficult. The problem is some of these behaviors, you know, could be interpreted as passive aggressive when they're not, you know, that's not what's going on at all. And I think we have to go back to what passive aggressive is about. It's like, it's when you want to show aggression, that's what it really comes down to. You do not like someone or something that person is doing, or you don't like the way that you are being treated, or you don't like the emotional, psychological, or even physical atmosphere, you know, what's going on around you. But the way you deal with it, instead of confronting with it and talking about it and, you know, having a discussion, you know, what you do is you outwardly agree. Oh, yeah, this is fantastic. Right. But inwardly, you're doing everything to undermine that happening. You won't cooperate. Yeah. You won't do anything to change the situation. Right. You may even do something. So, in fact, in reality, the reality of your behavior is aggressive. I mean, and that was so profound of the sister to point out that Shaitan's behavior is pure passive aggressive. But bro, Abdulhaq, I want to take you back to what you said about, you know, Shaitan and Allah. And look, I would say that anyone is going to feel powerless in front of Allah, right?
Right.
Because, subhanAllah, like what? But the beautiful thing is that Allah empowers us, right?
Yes.
Even, subhanAllah, even when it comes to our relationship with Him, He empowers us, because Shaitan says, what's wrong with you, Shaitan, right? He gives them the chance, right? To express himself. He gives them the opportunity to explain what's going on and to change and repent and get fixed. And he doesn't say, look, Allah, I've got this, I'm really suffering. Yeah, you created this thing and I thought I was your special one and I don't feel like that, whatever it was, whatever the dynamic. No, he just becomes arrogant, right?
Right.
And then, yeah, so I think it's that. I mean, in a sense, a person would feel powerless in front of Allah, but for Shaitan, it must have been that deep down inside, he wanted to be like more like Allah. Maybe he wanted to astaghfir Allah. He wants to be worshipped. Yeah. Isn't it really? That's what Shaitan's looking
for. Very, very worshipped.
Yeah. And the fact of his arrogance that he, you know, like really what Shaitan is saying is, I know better than you, Allah. That's what it stuff like. And yeah, I'm better than this creation
that you've made. Exactly. But you know what? Yeah. I mean, coming back to, I think Annalisa raised a point, and thank you, Jazakallah, Annalisa, that how she was made to feel when a brother at work acted passively aggressively to her. And it was and this is key, her words here, she felt so emotionally abused. And we have to look at this emotional abuse that she resigned from the job. And if someone's doing that again deliberately, and you can imagine what that looks like, okay? Someone, and the one of the worst aspects, and I dare say we've been guilty of it to some extent in the past, intentionally or not. And unfortunately, a lot of brothers do this with their wives. A lot of brothers do this with their sisters and females, in that using the deen passively aggressively by bringing verses of the Quran, bringing hadith, and saying, well, it's not me saying this. It's what Allah says. And you are, it's true that it's in the Quran. It's true. It's from the lips of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But your intention is not to advise and correct. Your intention is to harm and malign and make that individual feel bad about themselves. And your intention is to bring them to the way that you want, but you're using the deen to do it in such a nefarious way. And then we've got that. So jazakallah khair, Sister Anissa, for mentioning that and sharing that with us. Bilal also went on to say about, he goes quiet. Like you mentioned, we go quiet.
Can I just pick up on this? Can I just pick up on that point, Sister May, before we move on to another one? Because I think it's worth a bit of discussion, right?
Yeah.
I think, again, this is a classic example. The sister being, Anissa, suffering from this passive-aggressive behavior from a Muslim man at work. This is a classic example, right? It is. Now, what we have is a person who, that I'm guessing, right? Without, Sister, I'm not, you know, I don't want to put something in your head against another Muslim, right? But I'm just saying generally, this could be a classic example of somebody who feels a lot of resentment because culturally, even like you said, Abdulhaq, bro, they may feel they have a religious justification for this. Women shouldn't be working, let alone there's a woman in the workplace with me, let alone she's in authority over me. Can you imagine? Add that, like, she's, you know, she's my line manager. That would make it even worse. You know, this woman should be at home having babies, cooking, and, you know, making chapatis or whatever, right? And this is maybe what that person is thinking and that what person is believing. However, obviously, if this is in the West, to any way, shape or form express that type of belief system would get him to lose his job, right? He would lose his job, right? That would be discrimination. That would be totally acceptable. So then how is he going to manifest his aggression? Because that's what he's feeling, aggression towards that person. He's going to manifest that aggression, not by openly saying, listen, sister, you shouldn't be here. Go back to your home and have babies and cook biryani for your husband, right? He's not going to say that. What he's going to say, what he's going to do is, excuse me, could you do this, that, you know, your job is to do this. Yeah, sure. Of course I'll do that. I'm the perfect employee, and not do it.
Right.
Because that's his way of saying you shouldn't even be here. Right. And unfortunately, you left the job and you just made him, you should have helped him by sticking around because, like the Prophet said, help your brother, whether he's the oppressor or the oppressed. Yeah.
But it's not that easy, Abdurrahim.
Yeah.
It's
No. I'm not saying
maybe he was a boss. If he was Anissa's boss, and we know this, whether it's a Muslim or non-Muslim, and because he did not get attention or was unable to flirt or unable to do certain things,
could be that as well, maybe,
but then there came the I'm just alluding onto that now, mashallah. Then the passive aggressive behavior came because he didn't get the attention or what he wanted to achieve with her or any other woman in that regard. I think it's
how do you think, bro? Let's just pause here, right? Instead of talking about problems, how do you think this brother should have, you know, like, we don't know the brother, right? But let's just take the scenario. Maybe he fancied Anissa, or maybe it was the case he didn't, you know, it wasn't a fancy thing, but, you know, like, maybe it was just like I said, he had some cultural baggage. How should he deal with it? What do you think is the right way?
Let's add to that. Good point. Let's add to that as well. Maybe he was using religion, idealistically, in a misogynistic manner as well, because that could come in as well.
We covered that.
Because for me, I can identify with that when being overzealous in my early stages and having this understanding of the role of the man and the woman, very binary, and then learning, as we have done, that it's not as binary as some would want it to be. And maybe speaking in a similar way, but not being passive aggressive, but just like, okay, doing the very things that you've described. Now, what needs to happen, I think, when we're in the workforce, when in any scenario, we have to check ourselves, our self-worth, our self-esteem, and we've got to be comfortable with who we are, what we are, where we are. And again, it comes to externally referencing. If we still feel threatened because we're looking at an individual, a female counterpart at work, looking at our wives, mentions being made here by sisters that men don't like vocal, articulate women. Actually, I love them, to be honest with you. That's my personal thing. They could drive you crazy, and I know I drive them crazy, but intellectually astute women, mashallah, may Allah bless all of them. But what I'd say is that we need to be within ourselves, comfortable with ourselves, because if we're not, and we're relying on external factors to validate us, then we are going to start acting passively aggressive in various circumstances.
Like, number one, let's get to some solutions, bro. So, like, first of all, you're saying that if you have these feelings, number one thing you should do is check yourself to see, you know, like, are you seeking validation from external things, right? So that's point number one. So what else are you going to do? How would, like, what I'm really asking is, bro, how do you, what is your advice for someone to deal with a Nisa? If this person is exhibiting passive aggressive, okay, so advice number one is check yourself, look inside yourself. What are you feeling? Why are you feeling? So what else? How else could he go about this, you know, behaving in, you know, in the right way? How are you going to, you know, how are you going to channel that aggression in the way that is say, we don't need to call it aggression, but that's just the term that's used.
Right. No, he needs to, she needs to, not Anissa. I'm saying if it is a female, they need to come to terms with the discomfort they're feeling towards an individual.
Yeah.
And approach them with that and explain. Good. If it's to do with the individual, explain, but also to say, this may be my problem. This is a chat. And I want to work with you together so that I don't do this. I don't want to be showing one thing and then I'm doing something to undermine our relationship or something behind the scenes. We need to go to that person. We need to be honest with them and ourselves.
Yeah. Absolutely, bro. Jazakallah khair. And that's what I wanted to hear. But obviously, your opinion is whatever it is. It's great, you know. But that's exactly what I would have. I echo that totally. Jazakallah khair. I think the thing is, it's just about being honest, right? And finding a way. Obviously, finding a nice way, or it may never be nice, and it may never be a pleasant conversation, right? Because not for you emotionally, or for the person you are, you know, dealing with, but it's way better than exhibiting passive aggressive behavior, which we found out is actually, subhanAllah, shaitanic behavior. Yeah, it really is shaitanic behavior. And very, in a sense, I do feel very immature, very un-Islamic, very contrary to the spirit of nasiha and sincerity and ikhlas, and it's disingenuous, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. Islam lays such an emphasis on honesty, right?
Yes.
On being honest and being truthful. And, you know, the Prophet said, the deceptive ones are not from amongst us. People who are deceiving, they're not from us. Doesn't mean you're a kafir, but you're not from the people of Sunnah. You're not from the people close to the Prophet and his mannerisms, right? This is not how a Muslim should be, right? We should be overflowing with love and sincerity and concern and wanting the best for people. So if that's how you really feel, right, you don't need to be angry about it. I mean, you know, maybe you can have a discussion with a person about your feelings and your attitudes and your beliefs, and obviously within the context of you understand your position in terms of employment law and whatever, you have to frame it within all of that. Yes. And you have to be professional. Being professional means you have to do your job. If you don't like it, go to some other place where you can behave, you know, that accommodates your what prejudices right. were, or yeah. whatever they, I don't even call them prejudice. Maybe you're right, you know, but you know, you need to find a place where, you know, that's going to make you happy, not make someone but also like Abdurrahim, her job.
No, sticking with what you have said about the lessons to be learned. And we also have other fantastic stories in the Quran and examples. We saw a whole family, or almost a whole family, the brothers of Yusuf, alayhi salam. The passive aggressiveness, look at where it led to. Look at what it caused, the split between the brothers and the father Yaqub and Yusuf, and what Yusuf endured as a result of passive aggressiveness. And even at the end, when they came and his brother Benjamin, and they still said, they still slighted him, but he remained quiet on that. Yeah, but then also look at, we're not like that, but look at the result.
MashaAllah, this is like, honestly, this is amazing. Gave, I'm sorry. This is amazing.
MashaAllah, Yusuf forgave them despite decades of what they, the results of what they had caused him, and look at where he ended up compared to where they were. Look how Allah elevated him. So those of us who are recipients of passive aggressive behavior, we have the story of the lesson of Yusuf alayhi salam to learn patience, sabr, fortitude, attachment to Allah, trust, and in the end Allah will elevate us and protect us and maybe bring those who had that passive aggressiveness towards us closer, or remove them from us completely. So it's really, really important that we look at that. And but what we mustn't do though, Abdurrahim, because you mentioned something in the beginning, which is really important. Those of us who go quiet, those of us who are not emotionally literate, I don't hold myself to be highly emotionally literate. My wives, my ex-wives could drive me crazy and I wouldn't know. I'd say, right, I'm just going to go quiet. Other than that, I'll have an outburst. I walk out. I'll do all the things that us men do. And then going quiet, you're being told you're being passive aggressive. And we just don't know what to do. And in the societies that we're living in now, the Western society, these are trigger words that are used against us. They're weaponized, and it's weaponized on the part of the one saying, this is being done to me. And society then jumps in, gaslighting comes, these terminologies then come in. They exist. But when you put them all together, it paints that individual as a demon. Maybe they're not a demon. Maybe they're emotionally illiterate and they need help in that way. If they are demons in that particular way, then we have examples of how we can address them, how we can confront, how we can withdraw. But let's be clear, though, the recipient of passive aggressiveness is very unpleasant. And you're right, Shireen. Confrontation.
Look, I think, bro, there's something really important I want to, subhanAllah, because I only want to say it because it's in my mind. And if I don't say it now, right? Here's what I'm going to throw out to everybody and to you, bro, Abdul Haq, right? That actually, I'm quite happy for you to tear me down, and anyone who's listening, right, put your comments, right, and tell me if I've got it wrong. Yeah. I actually think that sometimes it's correct to be passive aggressive, right? And it's justified and it's right. Yeah. And so let me contend, contrary to what all of you have said, that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam also displayed passive aggressive behavior, right? And this is to prove that it's not necessarily negative. Why? Because he was nice to his brothers. He gave them extra grain. He gave them, you know, whatever. He said, go on your way, right? Oh, bring this brother back with you. And all the time he was plotting against them. Now that is all classic passive aggressive behavior. And he's not powerless, right? In the sense that he's, you know, he's the Malik. He's got the power right there, right? So on the surface, he's being very nice to his brothers. He doesn't even let them know that he's his brothers, right? And he's doing all of these nice things to them. Yet all the time, what is he doing? He is devising a scheme, and I don't mean it in a bad way, because I'm saying that my point being is that no, Allah says they plot and they plan, and Allah's the best of planners, Allah's the best of plotters. So the point being is that it's not always bad passive aggressive behavior, right? It's like anything, a lot of it depends upon the intention, it depends how it is being used, it depends for what purpose and for what intent it is being deployed. right? Surely that has to be a factor to be taken into account, because ultimately, at the end of the day, Yusuf's only intention was to bring his brothers back to the right way, yeah? To open their eyes, to wake them up, to make them understand, yeah? And sometimes that's it, that, you know, that maybe, and this goes back to the sort of things that I don't behave in a passive aggressive way with my wife because I just want to be awkward, right? If I do it, for me, a lot of the time, it's because I've tried to engage, I've tried to explain, right? I've tried all the other ways of communication and they're not working. And I'm not going to be beating my head against a wall, right? Smashing my brains out, trying to convince a person of something, right? So what do I have to resort to? I think that's perfectly reasonable at that time to resort to something which that person may actually understand a lot better. I mean, to be honest, the moment if I get angry with my voice and raise my voice at my wife and this and that, she just says, yeah, go on. I'm not afraid of you, right? My dad used to beat me black and blue. Do you think I'm afraid? Not the stuff for our guys. I never, alhamdulillah, touch my wife. Never, right? I'm just saying she, like, the moment she sees me sort of getting a bit sort of, you know, like a man might get a bit aggressive, she's not afraid. It's like, yeah, whatever. Go on. Yeah. It's like, so it doesn't work with her, right? So sometimes you have to understand as well with passive aggressive people, sometimes what works is the systems they themselves have employed. Is it unfair of Yusuf to use what might be considered to be passive aggressive behavior in order to deal with his brothers, who, as you said, were also passive aggressive? I don't know. That's my thoughts on it. I don't think it's necessarily negative, which sort of comes back to where we, you know, where the first question I asked, right? In the case of disempowerment, is it wrong to be and by the way, I wanted to bring it back, Abdulhaq, right? This is another thing I forgot in the conversation. You know how our conversation goes, right? Very quickly, I'm going to insert this. A brother was asking me questions recently about, you know, obeying the emir and, you know, this whole thing about the rulers and what if the rulers are fasik and they're disobeying Allah, right? So obviously, I gave him the hadith about obey your emir, you know, even if he beats your back and takes your property and this and that. Right. But you don't obey him in disobedience to Allah, right? And more than that is that outwardly you comply. Outwardly you comply to the emir, right? But you do not agree and you do not comply, right? And it's just enough for yourself to remove yourself and distance yourself from that person's. And you are not allowed as a Muslim, right? Mm-hmm. To support wrongdoing and evil. Right.
True.
If there is a Muslim ruler in a Muslim land who's trying to, you know, sell alcohol and start parties and raves and this and that, you are not allowed to help in that. You are not allowed to set up the sound system. You are not allowed to distribute the leaflets or, you know, or print them. Any type of that behavior is haram. Right. Let alone if you're a scholar giving a fatwa, astaghfirullah, in favor of it. Right.
Right.
So you could say, well, that's all passive aggressive. Right?
Right.
But what are you going to do if you're going to be, you know, carted off to prison and put in prison for 6 months and your family's not going to know what's going to happen to you? Right. How do you deal with that? And so that's my question. Is it really always bad to exhibit passive aggressive behavior? Isn't it sometimes that's all you can do? That's what I put to you, bro. So two things.
I think that's fascinating. Yes.
Yusuf was not there. Yusuf passive aggressive. And also in the case of the ruler and, you know, how do you behave when he's a tyrant or a wrongdoer or spreading evil?
I wouldn't place, Jazakallah, I think this is fascinating. I wouldn't place Yusuf's behavior in the passive aggressive realm. And previously, one of our viewers mentioned, should we be putting passive aggressiveness on a scale, on a spectrum, which is a very good question. Jenadeen, Jazakallah for that. Very good question. Now, passive aggressiveness is showing that face of compliance and warmth and agreeing.
Which is what Yusuf did to his brothers.
Okay. But the planning and the plotting and the behavior is that for an outcome that is not constructive, is not positive. It's either to harm that individual, the organization, the group, okay, and to make yourself, not to place yourself above them, because passive aggressive individuals cannot do that by virtue of the positions that they're in, but to satiate, to make yourself feel better. Yusuf al-Islam,
I'm not sure that's necessarily, sorry, bro, to interrupt. I don't think that's necessarily a condition of passive aggressive behavior. I think that's an interpretation of the negative aspect of, my proposition is as a system, as a sort of, like if you take it in its raw form, yeah, that outwardly you are passive, and maybe the word aggressive is problematic, yeah? Okay, so if you said passive reformative, yeah, because maybe in the mind of any person who is displaying passive aggressive behavior, they're not doing it to be difficult. So let's talk about Nilufar. Was it Nilufar? Yeah, it was Nilufar. Yeah. Maybe the brother in his own mind.
And
Anissa, yeah. Maybe the brother in his own mind, I'm not justifying his behavior, stuff for Allah, but I'm saying in his own mind, he thought, well, I'm, you know, like yourself admitted, Abdul Haq, back in your earlier days, yeah, when you were sort of shadid and this and that, what is this woman doing in the workplace? She should be at home, right? I'm going to help her get back to where she needs to be, right? Now, obviously, I can't be open about this, but, and your intentions are all sincere and good, right? You weren't a bad person back then, bro. I don't think you were. I don't think you ever intended bad for a person. If you did that, you wouldn't have intended bad. Now, in retrospect, now you may say, oh, yeah, okay, that was a bit misguided, right, in the context of us living in the West. But still, right, your intention, right, was to do something that was good. But we'd still identify that as passive. And maybe the problem is in the aggressive, the use
but
of the
one
word aggressive.
Key factor, Abdurrahim, the one key factor that I would say why it's, I believe it's in countering respectfully what you said, one key factor is where it's problematic. Yusuf alayhi salam was a messenger of Allah, a Nabi. And he was what he was doing was based upon revelation. That's a clear, and now I'll tell you why that demarcates him from the passive aggressive categorization that we're talking about now. Because if we're going to say that about Yusuf alayhi salam, then we must say the same about Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was with his people.
Yeah,
and they saw Saul set at night, and he said, "This is my Lord." And then he said, "I hate those which set." This is my Lord.
He was very straight up. That's not passive aggressive, bro.
Why is
in
that
your face?
Why am I saying that could be used as passive aggressive? Because the people were with him. They were with him at this particular point, and he was saying this to his people. Also, when he damaged the idols. You could call that the ultimate passive aggressiveness.
No, not at all, bro. I don't think if you go back to the definition of passive aggressive, that's almost the opposite of it.
No, right? Abdurrahim, but he didn't. Think about it. You're saying that.
Yeah.
He did not admit to this. He attributed it and posed a question.
Yeah, but bro, that's different. Like, so, bro, look, that's very.
But let me finish, Abdurrahim.
And I tell you why. It's simply, it's very, very different.
They were upon revelation, and we cannot put.
No, bro, come on. Look. At the end of the day, it's still even. That's fine. I agree with you, but it's still a model for our behavior, whether it's based on revelation or not. Because otherwise, what are you going to say? We can't do anything because every behavior we.
No,
we need
no,
revelation or what? Like at the end of the day, bro. At the end of the day, the prophets are a model for us to behavior for our behavior, right? They give us a paradigm through which to act in the world, right? That's why Allah sent human beings
to
be prophets, right? So I agree with you, and that makes it even more powerful that it shows that it is an acceptable way to behave. If it's based on revelation, means it's an acceptable way to behave. So I think what we're getting stuck on here is the presumption that passive aggressive is necessarily a negative behavior pattern, right? And all I'm trying to do is saying, no, I don't think, like, for example, I think within context, it's not. So for example, plotting and planning. Yeah, generally you would say plotting and planning, that's not good, right? However, Allah says that He is the best of plotters. And although in English we translate it, He's the best of planners, actually in Arabic it's the same word. He's the best of plotters. But Allah only plots against those people who are plotting, right? You understand? If people are plotting and planning, Allah deals with them in a way that is deserving for those people, right? And so that was my proposition. It is that it's possible. And it, again, it comes down to your intention and your purpose. And I think that's the thing, going back to your point, which is very valid, right? When a person is displaying passive aggressive behavior out of narcissism, out of ego, right? Out of, you know, whatever it may be, like shaitan, their self-inflated opinion of themselves, whatever it may be, right? Absolutely, that's wrong and that's willful. Or if you're displaying passive aggressive behavior to people who are very open to you having a frank conversation, like there's nothing preventing, like shaitan, Allah even said to him, what's wrong with you,
right?
It's not like Allah just shut him up and didn't give shaitan an opportunity to express himself and talk about his problems, right? You understand? So I think, again, passive aggressive behavior in the context of when there's no reason for it, we can see, or when it's motivated by ego or by pride or by whatever, right? Or just bad
character. I agree. I think
you understand.
This is fascinating. I think we'd have to tease out and look more on the examples given regarding the prophets. I think that's something. But I think it would then come back to what Jenna highlighted. Is there a spectrum? And there more than likely is, based on what you're discussing and highlighting. Clearly, that's on the spectrum. So if it's within the contextualization that you've given with the intention and why the person's doing it with nefarious means, like we saw with the brothers of Yusuf, for example, alayhi salam, then I say, yes, that type of blameworthy passive aggressiveness is something that should not be accepted, acknowledged. It must be acknowledged because it's there, but it should not be accepted. It's unacceptable, and it should always be challenged. And I would also say, because you asked me a very good question about solutions. Also, if we're aware of that passive aggressive behavior, or we suspect there is that negative passive aggressive behavior, we need to approach the individual, not necessarily confront them, but to speak to them and address and say, these examples are, to me, of passive aggressiveness. Is there something you want to discuss? Is there something that you are uncomfortable about as it relates to myself? Those of us who are receiving that need to also be proactive in, I won't say confront, because one of the participants mentioned, sometimes confrontation can exacerbate the problem. Sometimes it can end the problem, but I feel that we need to look at the environment.
And I think, bro, let's just take the example, right? Almost the flip, the whole, like the other end of the spectrum. Let's look at the extreme other end of the spectrum, violence. Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure we would all agree that violence is almost always unacceptable, right? You should never be violent. You should never kill someone. You should never behave towards them aggressively. You should never beat someone up. Like, we agree with that, right? However, clearly from the Quran, there are times when violence is not only justified, but obligated.
Right. Yeah?
You have to do it, right? And not sometimes not responding, is actually itself evil. Right? Because evil will only get worse. So I think that Allah, gives the criterion that, that the meaning of what the Quran says, as far as I know, and some scholars have used this to argue against the idea of offensive jihad, that all jihad is defensive, is because Allah says he does not love the aggressor, right? And what Allah loves and what Allah doesn't love is not something that can be abrogated, because it's that Allah will never love an aggressor. You can't abrogate, a ruling can be abrogated, drinking alcohol or not, or, muta or not, or whatever it may be, right? Those rulings can be abrogated. But about things that Allah loves in terms of characteristics, or things that Allah hates in terms of characteristics, they are not abrogated. They are, in a sense, fixed. So some have used this to make the point that ghazwa, or every battle, or every encounter that a Muslim state has with those who oppose it or whatever, they have to be defensive in some way, shape, or form, right? So the point is that's my point, is that violence we generally consider will agree universally violence is bad and to be avoided almost at all costs. But sometimes you have to respond with violence, and sometimes it's the only way, and sometimes it's wrong not to respond. Why would that not be the same, exactly the same with passive-aggressive behavior? Why not? Right? We can agree that generally it's not the best way to behave, but sometimes that's the way you have to deal with things. That's the proposition I would put. You can just look
That's another fascinating point, which I think the example you've given, and we spoke about this last week, with regards to anger. Okay, justified anger.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
There you go. So I can't argue against you or counter what you said. And I think it's very interesting, because when we were looking at discussing this, and I want everyone to know, we don't sit here and come to our conclusions. Organically. We say, what's the topic?
Much on the spur, wasn't it, bro?
All of these shows are on the spur, mashallah. And that's why I love the discussions. But I think looking at what you've said and the examples and the way you've posed them, I'm thinking, so there is a passive aggressiveness that in some circumstances is positive based on what we're discussing. Yeah. Overwhelmingly, I would suggest it's not. But like you said, in the same with violence, overwhelmingly we abhor violence of all sorts. But there are exceptions to the rule. And I think that we all need to look at that. Many of us, maybe you thought, okay, this is going to be about passive aggressiveness. Everyone's going to agree. It's going to be a carte blanche. It's bad. Everyone should leave it. Yeah. Yes, we should on the whole, but as Abdurrahim is highlighting, I think it's really important, Abdurrahim, that you brought this out like this and posed these questions. Yeah. Are there exceptions to the rule? And if there are exceptions to the rule in these other often abhorrent acts and characteristics, then surely there's exceptions to the
rule. Habibi, listen, bro. Jazakallah khair. And something I really want to say, because I think it's a good place to end, but this is my sort of, unless we get really carried away again, but so this is my last sort of comment that I want to say, and I think it's really important. Brothers and sisters, I really think it's important to always think, you know, most of the time, 99%, like let's just say always, try and think the best of people. Try and make excuses for people, right? Don't think about that Muslim brother who was passive aggressive in the office and got our sister. I'm so bad with names. Anissa, yeah?
Yes.
Who got Anissa fired. Let's not think, oh, he's a shaitan.
She didn't get fired. She resigned.
She resigned. Yeah, I mean, like, forced her out. Like, our temptation is to think, what a shaitan, right? But actually, we should think, make excuses for the brother, right? Maybe he was emotional. Maybe he has, maybe he has problems expressing his emotions. Maybe he had good intentions, but was misdirected in the way that he behaved them. And I think this is really, really important. And that's why when we were coming up with the title for this whole discussion, I always try to think is passive aggressive behavior like, okay, that looks really bad. But maybe some people do it because they don't know what else to do, right? And maybe they're not really, really bad people. Maybe some of them just respond in a bad way because they just don't know, or they just haven't got the emotional intelligence to be able to respond in a good way, right? And I think that you know, obviously we try to make excuses for people. We try to think the best of people, and we try to, you know, be positive and help people rather than create a lot of negativity. On the other hand, that doesn't, you know, mean that we are blind to complete sort of, you know, narcissism and egoistic, someone who loves power. What do you call it? Not a kleptomaniac, someone who loves stealing. What's a person who...
Something similar. I can't... The name doesn't come.
It's a person who's always after power. Come on, one of the commenters... megalomaniac. And believe me, you can get a megalomaniac in an office of four people. You can have someone who's a flipping megalomaniac. Just like, you see them with traffic wardens, literally. Yeah. A person's a traffic warden. Exactly. And they're literally a megalomaniac. They're just lost with the little bit of... You saw that with these supermarket attendants with face masks.
Right.
Like literally, like honestly, give a person a little bit of power and flipping, he might as well grow a mustache and have a swastika on his head.
Right. Absolutely. Protectors. And then also we see that there can be husbands who have that. The husband who uses the deen to suppress his wife.
Yeah.
And that power. And he's never been able to do that before, but he feels this sense of it's not even empowerment, it's cowardice, where he feels, I can do this. You are the hadith says not to go out of the home. And you take that context that was from yesteryear in a different societal context, and it's happened. It was done in the 90s. That was the understanding. And I'm not saying that that was done with an evil intent during that time. I think there was a naivety. Yeah. But to now we've got a comprehensive understanding of all these things. To do that now, okay, without a context, is the individual power mad? The mother or who's so strict with her children, enjoying rationing their food or when they eat and things like this. So these are areas where these things can creep in. Maybe and we bad. May convince ourselves that this is from a good intention. But in actuality, just like we said with anger, just like we said with other things, people who do this deliberately in these ways are in actuality weak. And we've got to realize that when that's being done or displayed towards us, when that negative, I'm going to say there's a positive passive aggressiveness based on what Abdurrahim has almost convinced me to in that way, but there's the negative passive aggressiveness in that these individuals are weak. And that's why we need to look at ourselves. These individuals, they are unable to articulate themselves sincerely. Ikhlas is a key component of this deen. And so there's a cowardice among them. There's a weakness among them. And we shouldn't reflect that weakness in the way that we respond, defeated, dejected. It happens, emotionally abused. And Anissa felt that way. And I wanted to highlight that with Anissa because we've all felt that. We've got it from our wives, ex-wives, from ex-husbands. Yeah. And you feel totally, you do feel disempowered. You feel there's no way I can get around this, what they're doing, because it's intangible. Because if I highlight it, they will say, what are you talking about? No, you're imagining things. And then that starts playing on your mental health. Because the moment that you confront such individuals doing that, in the workforce, for example, then they deny it and they bring others in who haven't seen this passive aggressiveness. And they will then say, Abdulhak's imagining these things. You can't bring an example because by virtue, by its nature, passive aggressiveness doesn't bring anything tangible for you to hold on to.
And this is a very interesting thing. Well, that I read is that people who display passive aggressive behavior, when you confront them with it, often that actually makes them more passive aggressive because they actually hate being confronted, you know, with their emotions, which is really, really, you know, really, really interesting. I mean, honestly, bro, this is such a fascinating subject. And the more we talk about it, the more examples, you know, I think about. But I just wanted to mention, because I think it's useful for everyone, is like, I'm thinking even about myself, going back to that conversation, is passive aggressive behavior always bad? And I'll be honest, right? Again, if I think about, you know, my dynamic between me and my wife, the stuff that really hits me the hardest, right, that really hits me, is actually when she's passive aggressive towards me, right? So when she's stonewalling me, for example, and like only says salam alaikum, you know, for 3 days, and that is like, you know, that's it, she won't talk to me. Oh my God, that gets me. So that's when I'm apologizing, when I haven't even done anything wrong, right? You know, like I know that I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm still apologizing. And possibly because maybe I'm passive aggressive myself and I understand that behavior. I respond to it because I feel it, you know, like really strongly, much more than perhaps I would, you know, respond well to someone expressing and talking things through with me. I don't know. So Allahu alim, you know, at the end of the day, I think if, you know, I intention does have something to do with it. At the end of the day, if you're trying to work things out and you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to express yourself, but not because you want to hurt another person, right? Because you want things to work out and you want things to be better and you know, and those things are important to do. I do think that intention has a lot to do with it. And I think people understand different things. And you know, Abdulhaq, bro, very well, some people understand a good slap and other people, you know, and I, and I, I think about the prophets.
Everyone here, that's not referring to wives. We're talking.
No. Wives. Absolutely. I'm talking about on the street. Yeah. I'm talking about on the street. But some people respond way better to, you know,
force.
I'm not going to talk to you for a day. You understand? And, you know, it's very interesting that about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was just enough for people to see on his face that he was not happy. And that's because they loved him so much, right? They loved the Prophet so much that just seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disturbed, was enough, right? You know, for them to sort of, you know, that was enough, right?
But you've mentioned a key point there, and I think the sisters need to hear this and the non-Muslim female viewers need to hear this. What you said about the apologizing, sisters, be clear. Abdurrahim is a very strong-minded character like myself. But when what he described about his wife, and I'll say this about my wife and my ex-wives and everything when I was in plural marriage, it got to the stage, Abdurrahim, that if I came in and saw that they were unhappy or whatever, and I'm not saying they were being passive-aggressive, I would dare say they were to some extent, I would walk in. And immediately I'd question, what have I done? That's what have I done? And is it me? That's what I started doing. Like, it must be me because they're behaving this way. And I was doing that sincerely because I wanted to rectify whatever the problem was. Yeah. Now, do some people, men or women, if the wife as well, look up what's wrong? Have I done something wrong? Are you dissatisfied with something? And the partner can take advantage of that. Okay. It may not be the individual. They may be feeling bad in themselves, they may have issues within themselves, but when they see that the partner is coming to them, like I would come to my wife, my ex-wives or my wife, my wife here is fantastic, mashallah, nearly 40 years, alhamdulillah, but when I would come to them and that behavior will perpetuate, psychologically, you rack your brain, and then you move, I'll behave this way, I'll move this way, I'll try that way. And it's interesting, bro. And it's out of love that you're doing that.
But what
you're doing is you're eating yourself up inside.
Yeah, and it's interesting, bro, that you're saying, because one of the things I read is that a lot of passive-aggressive behavior in a marriage is a sign of a failing relationship. It's like literally it shows that the relationship is breaking down. And relationships where there's a lot of passive-aggressive behavior, it ends in divorce. A lot of marriages where it is... And you're right, because how much can you take? How much can you take it, bro? If you're going to walk through the door and like that's how you're feeling the minute you, how much are you going to put up with that? Everyone wants a happy life, a peaceful life, right? Like, seriously, you know?
Do you know what the sad thing is? In the society that we come from, when it's the, and I've seen this with the brothers I've counseled, relationships I've had to get involved in, when the female goes out to society and she's been the one displaying passive aggressive behavior throughout, which the husband is emotionally illiterate to put his finger upon. And then she accuses him of that and gaslighting and all these trigger words. Then the society, the police, the social services, the law fall heavily in favor of the woman. Heavily in favor of the woman. I've witnessed it in cases. I've had to go to court on behalf of brothers. I've even had in the rare occasion had to go to court on behalf of a British sister whose husband was from North Africa, and he was doing the same thing to her because she was becoming more religious and he was not religious, and he was saying she's turned into a fanatic, and he was so when that's done and the law and the system falls behind and supports the individual who's doing it, but he or she's accusing the other partner, the other spouse, of being that, it's devastating. And it takes years psychologically to overcome such apparatus that your ex-wife, your ex-husband, existing husband, existing wife is using against you. So we've got to be very, very careful. Again, two things, Abdurrahim, on conclusion, from my part, is what I've said. We need to equip ourselves by looking inwardly, reflecting, and not seeking outward validation. So if passive aggressiveness is being done to us, we are able to see it for what it is and address it and basically protect ourselves, knowing that this was done to Yusuf alayhi salam, who's greater than all of us. It's something that was done Shaitan is one who implemented that against Adam alayhi salam, and we saw the result of that in the end. And that the one displaying that negative, destructive, passive aggressiveness will not win in the end. Will not win in the end. So we've got to really equip ourselves with the necessary religious and emotional tools to at least be aware. It doesn't mean it's going to become easy. And the second thing is, when we see that happening, if we are able to go and address it to the individual, with the individual, we should do that. And if it's the individual who believes they're not doing it, but they think, hold on, my relationship with this individual is going wrong, we should go, like, Abdurrahim, do you feel that I'm being passive aggressive towards you? Yeah, bro.
They may not know what that means. So, I mean,
then to explain, do you think I'm being negative? Am I showing you one particular face, but you see that I'm doing something different that undermines our relationship or undermines what we're doing together? We can approach it in that way. And at least it opens up that dialogue. Mm. And if the individual is doing it that we've approached, or if he's coming to us and he is or she is doing it, we can talk about how we can work together to move away from that passive aggressiveness. If you're confronting or approaching someone who is doing it, if they deny it, if they are doing it, at least they know that you're aware. And that's enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely, bro. I think that's a great place to leave it on. It's been, as usual, a fascinating discussion. Just get better and better, bro.
Mashallah. I hope our viewers feel the same way, inshallah.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? If it's just you and me talking and our audience commenting, I think the benefit of our conversation and even the comments, mashallah, the comments have been amazing as our conversation together, because it's just like, boom, open our eyes to, you know, Shaitan. And then you mentioned the story of Yusuf and stuff I didn't even cross my mind. So thanks so much. May Allah bless all of you who have contributed as well. It's just absolutely brilliant. And I think, you know, my final word is, it just shows the importance of us all working on our ego, working on our nafs and learning good manners and develop. It's hard work. It is hard work, right? But it's so important, and we don't give it enough time. We don't give it enough effort. Yeah.
And we're going to get together. Remember that there's going to be a day when we get together.
Yeah.
We're going to have a session in a hall, in a place, and all of you, we're going to be together seeing each other. And I was to use the term vibing together. This is, I look forward to that day, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. It's a pleasure, bro. Until next week, inshallah. And inshallah. I've already got, by the way, I have already got a topic in mind for next week.
Then we will discuss that and we will go for it
inshallah.
Next week.
I think it's going to be amazing as well, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair, everyone. Brother Ibrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.